Give me real food like collard greens and country ham and pinto beans. Homemade biscuits spread with butter reminds me of my sweet grandmother. Let me smell those pecan pies, see those yeast rolls start to rise. Don't serve me up no slick disguise, I'm in a hungry mood. I want real food, I'm in a hungry mood. I want some real food. I don't like this imitation stuff.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you are listening to Ecotopia, a weekly program exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological. I'm Stephen Chudy.
And I'm Susan Chudy. This week we're talking about Proposition 37. Our guests are both proponents of the proposition to label products that contain GMOs, genetically modified organisms. We'll talk first with Grant Lundberg. He's the CEO of Lundberg Family Farms and on the board of directors of the Non-GMO Project.
And then we'll talk with Dave Murphy, a frequent guest on this program. He's the founder and executive director of Food Democracy Now!, a nonprofit dedicated to reforming policies relating to food, agriculture, and the environment.
Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the many local business underwriters, including the Law Office of Grady Davis, AgMart, Access Real Estate, Lending, Lion Books and Learning Center, and Mountain Sports. Thanks for supporting community radio.
The opinions voiced on Ecotopia do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, or programmers.
We'll be back in just a moment to talk with Grant Lundberg about Proposition 37 and about GMOs. You're listening to Ecotopia on KZFR.
We have 8 fingers and 12 toes.
Count them up, you'll get 21. Count again, it is so much fun.
We never get mosquito bites. We don't need rain.
Our skin is super thick and tight. Underneath is vermiculite.
We're GM the GMO. GM the GMO. GM, that's how it goes. GM, word G. Genetically M modified.
Is our delight. We'll go for 40 days and 40 nights.
Past the due date, we're forever ripe. Just like a freeze-dried pack of ice.
My name's Joe, and I'm a GMO. My superpower is to glow.
My name is Keith, and with my shark gene, I regenerate teeth, so I don't have to brush them clean.
I'm Amy.
You are listening to Ecotopia on KZFR Community Radio in Chico. On the phone with us now is Grant Lundberg, CEO of Lundberg Family Farms. He's on the board of directors of the Non-GMO Project. Welcome, Grant Lundberg.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Grant, you're a proponent of Yes on Prop 37, which would require the labeling of GMO products. Could you tell us, please, what exactly does the proposition call for? And in general, what does GMO mean?
Yeah, so GMO is a term or a acronym that stands for genetically modified organisms. Sometimes it's referred to genetically engineered. And not just what that means is through a scientific process that two species are combined together in a way that wouldn't normally happen through natural selection and breeding. And that combination forms a new, let's say, plant that combines the genetics from two different species that exhibits new characteristics. So in simple terms, the combination of two species came together to form corn, let's say, that's resistant to Roundup. And that way the growers can spray this broadband herbicide, which will kill everything except the corn. And that was developed through genetic engineering.
So what does the proposition actually call for? It's just to label GMO
right.
products,
It's a consumer right to know proposition. And it calls for foods that contain genetically engineered ingredients to state that on the label. And those are foods that are sold, of course, in California.
And the California Right to Know, what is that? Is that a nonprofit group or is
it
just
the California Right to Know? It is an organization that has drawn up this initiative and then gathered the signatures and now are working it through the election process to November 6th.
Right, and our members might remember that we've interviewed Pam Larry, who was hugely important in initiating this project, and we've also talked with Louisa Garza, and there have been a lot of people in our area
that have really been
important in this.
Yes, Pam has been kind of the mother of this thing, the grandmother, and it's through her kind of efforts that really got the ball rolling on this consumer issue.
What if you could tell us about the relationship between GMO labeling and efforts to ban GMOs altogether? On the point is, a week or so ago, I talked with people in Richmond, B.C., who've gotten a ban, though it's not binding, but they've just banned GMOs altogether within the city limits.
Right.
How does this all connect, please?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Of course, this is a labeling, a consumer labeling issue. And so this gives the consumer the right to go to the grocery store and make a choice about the kind of food that they want to eat. And so this is not a ban. It doesn't restrict this type of type of technology. It just gives the consumer a choice.
Right, right. And you're also involved with the non-GMO project. And as I was looking over kind of a little bit about your involvement, the non-GMO project is also kind of information-based. How do you see the relationship between...
Well, the non-GMO project started about 5 years ago, and it was members, concerned manufacturers and other members of the organic and natural food industry, just concerned that we didn't have a good way to manage this technology and let consumers know and go through a very a process to keep purity and verify. So it was set up to do that. We have, if you go to the site, the Non-GMO Project website, you can see the standard by which we operate and the process and that we go through or that the Non-GMO Project goes through to verify foods, and that then those foods can contain this label that they've been verified by the project, which means they've gone through a process to affirm that you know, that they're using best practices to minimize or not have contamination with GE type ingredients.
Right.
Grant Lundberg, one of the reasons we're interested in that connection between labeling and outright bans or other restrictions, we know that the GMO industry is pumping a lot of money into
the
anti-37 campaign. Why does this set them off? I think about the comparison between cigarette labeling and the labels on GMO packaging.
Well, that's a very good question. You know, I think, what have they contributed, about $23 million so far?
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Something like that. And why, you know, why are they so concerned about this? When, you know, and what's interesting, you know, our economic system is all about the consumer. It's about the consumer finding value in the products and services that they purchase. And I think one thing that has been missing in this conversation is consumer-driven value recognition. And that only happens when products are labeled with characteristics. And, you know, when Apple comes out with a new iPhone, they always talk about the benefits and the reasons why. And that gets consumers to purchase that because they want to have that value. In this process, in something as important as our food, that is left out of the consumer's choice. And so I just think it to develop, to give consumers the ability to make good choices and to recognize value, you have to have labeling. You have to know what the benefits are. And I think this is this gives Californians the opportunity to make that choice.
And sometimes I think that it's really difficult for people to understand with GE products or with GMOs what's wrong. What's wrong with GMOs?
Well, I think, you know, it it's a very new technology, and it was developed in the 80s. In 1992, the FDA ruled equivalency. They said that genetically engineered plants and food are no different than their counterparts that aren't modified. And this was a ruling that really sidetracked all the kind of what I would say processes of government and independent third-party studies on this technology to do long-term, you know, kind of validation that this is a safe technology, that it delivers what it's saying it's going to do, and it really performs the way everybody wants it. That was short-circuited only maybe 5 or 6 years after the technology was introduced.
So let me just understand this. That means there were not any scientific studies or any double-blind
studies? Well, the scientific studies that were done by the technology owners.
I see.
And the in a lot of the processes that FDA manages, like, you know, they have to bring third-party studies into play.
Sure.
And so this is, you know, I think the issue then was, you know, so that brings into kind of challenge, what was the process we used to, you know, review this? I think there's some more real just practical issues because when you release this technology into the food supply, if the folks that grow and handle and store aren't organized, this technology drifts and moves around. You don't have the same kind of purity that you had before, and it's very hard to get that back. And the impacts of that just within the industry are very much overlooked by, you know, again, the folks that are driving this technology are the folks that own the intellectual property. And because they haven't had to label for consumers, consumers haven't been brought into this choice, and the system hasn't really been, in a certain sense, optimized to handle that feedback. And so I think it's just, it's a very democratic, capitalist idea to give people choice so that they can spend their money the way that they want to. And that's basic to our democracy. It's the way that we support our beliefs. And so I think in that respect, it's about the consumer. Proposition 37 is a consumer issue. It's not so much maybe the food issue. It's more about consumer choice.
How quickly would labeling of GMO products go into effect when the proposition passes?
Well, this initiative goes into effect if it when it passes in the first part of November, mid-July of 2014. So there's about an 18-month window for folks to start organizing and understanding what this means to, you know, food processors.
And so, really, I mean, I think that in some ways this is the low-hanging fruit, that what you're doing is saying, people, you should just know. Mm-hmm. And you don't really have to go into concerns mm-hmm. about the health issues mm-hmm. or the environmental mm-hmm. issues. You just say, everyone has a right to know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hardly anyone except Monsanto and mm-hmm. and the what's a National Grocers Association or whatever
right.
it is mm-hmm. that can deny that that's an important value.
It is. It is the other exciting thing about this initiative. It's the people's initiative. You know, I think in recent memory of the folks that I've talked to who do these kind of initiatives, you know, this one brought in, I think, over 300,000 volunteer
yes.
signatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's amazing.
And
yeah.
that kind of, you know, grassroots support for an issue is really kind of unheard of. And it's really exciting because it's something that the people are bringing on. And the opposition is very concerned about this. And, they can't buy that kind of grassroots support, and that grassroots support is very powerful, and it goes right back to it's the consumers,
right,
and the consumers
right,
are the ones
right.
who are really pushing this ball up the hill.
So what got you involved in mm-hmm. the efforts to let the
well,
public
our company,
know about this?
You know,
yeah.
our company, Lumber Family Farms, you
yes.
know, we've been farming here for 75 years.
Yes.
And
we eat your stuff.
Well, thank you. We appreciate
that. We do indeed.
That. But, you know, we've just, I think we're very committed to long-term sustainable food production. And I think one of the issues with this technology, it has challenges with purity, and ownership of the technology, and we haven't had the long-term studies that I think and we think are required as you work on food in a new way. And so at Lumber Family Farms, because this is an issue that really one way to deal with this is to label, and it's been on our it's been an important issue to us for a long time,
right.
And so
right.
And you know, we're very involved in keeping keeping purity and, you know, not having contamination just with our standard rice varieties.
Right.
We have different colors, different lengths, different and we have to keep those characteristics pure because people like you want to go in the store and buy a certain variety, and this technology, you know, can challenge that. And but if we get it on the label, it makes everyone who's bringing the store to the grocery store get organized
right.
with that process.
Right. Right.
So I think that's so that's why it's important to us.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've talked with Jim Gerritsen mm-hmm. A couple of times on this program about the Osgata lawsuit with Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he has said to me, he's talked a lot about what you just were saying
mm-hmm.
about purity,
mm-hmm.
about is it going to be possible because of with corn,
mm-hmm.
soybeans,
mm-hmm.
and some of the other
mm-hmm.
major crops, is it going to be possible to even have purity
mm-hmm.
with Monsanto's pollen
mm-hmm.
being able to spread
right.
with people that have no way to protect themselves from
right.
it? And the law is
mm-hmm.
So far not being very supportive in protecting people from
mm-hmm.
GMO
mm-hmm.
invasion.
Yeah, and I think another, you know, again, this gets back to the end consumer. you know, the consumer saying, I want to know this and I'm going to place some value on it, the supply chain will get organized and deliver what the consumer wants.
That's what they always do.
Right. You know, and I think one of the interesting ideas is that these large, not just the food corporations, are investing a lot of money to oppose this. And in my mind,
yes,
you know, economics would tell me, man, if I have all these people who want to know this and have these concerns, isn't that something as a, you know, a food company that I want to help them understand and deliver?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, at a certain point, they're going to have to see that, because I think that's what the consumer wants, or
yeah,
they're going to miss a large amount of the market.
And this seems really important for heightening consumer awareness, this particular yes on
Yes, no, I think it does that, and it hits people. You know, the national polls have had high levels of support for this across all demographics,
right,
and it doesn't matter the party or any affiliation, because people understand that this is a basic democratic right.
Right, right. I was looking at the website for the Non-GMO Project, which you are involved with, and one of the things I found really useful was a little handbook, a PDF called GMO Myths and Truths, and it's an evidence-based examination of the claims made for the safety, I'm reading the title, and efficacy of genetically modified crops. And this is at www.non-gmoproject.org, and I just found it really useful. Are there myths that you think of that are common about GMOs that you think are important for people?
Well, I think one of the challenges as we look at our food supply, you know, that you hear a lot is that we don't have enough food. Right? And that's why and if we could just grow more food, we could get people, you know, get them a full stomach. And I think, you know, that is a misnomer in the fact that people are not hungry because there's not enough food. They're hungry because there's despot rulers and people that don't treat their countrymen fairly and justly, and withhold food or the resources to develop the institutions to support a solid food system. And then, you know, and so there are lots of, you know, there are societal problems that create these issues.
Yes.
And just having more food isn't going to solve it.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so I think that's one of the misnomers. And I think the other one is the question about, so are we supposed to feed the world? You
right,
know,
right.
Who said that? You know, I think we need to help people
right.
feed themselves.
Yes.
And so, you know, the way that you know, coming up with highly technical solutions that can't be executed in a country where they don't even have a road to get to their fields is really, you know, maybe not the best solution for that place.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a challenging issue, and I think it's going to, you know, feeding the world and how do we feed ourselves, and it's all important, and
yes.
I don't think there is one specific solution that
yes.
does it all. But and I think that's one of the, you know, the misnomers with genetically engineered food, that this will save the world. And as we know,
yes.
nothing can save the world. We have to all work together, and there's many different ways that we're going to have to do to work to get that done.
Hmm. Right.
We're about 6 weeks out from the election at this point, Grant.
Mm-hmm.
What do you anticipate happening?
Well, we're going to get overwhelmed with opposition advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said before, the strength that we have is the people. And, you know, I just challenge folks to go to the carighttoknow.org.
Yes.
If they're interested in supporting or want to endorse or want to, you know, whatever they would like to do, those opportunities are there. And so I think, you know, we have the people, they have the money, and in the end, the consumer needs to have the choice, and we're the people who are the consumers. So I think it all works, and it's an exciting discussion, and I think it's bringing up some really important issues for
yes.
you know, for California and for the country.
Yes, yes.
And on a number of different levels, you know, how do we actually, you know, how do we handle technology? Do we let the owners of the technology set all the rules?
Mm-hmm.
When do the consumers come into technology and really give feedback and create value? This was done in a really upside-down manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, technology is positive. There are good technology out there, but we have to be careful how we move it out and how we create value with it. And and so I think in the bigger sense, that's one of the issues we're dealing with here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Grant Lundberg. We've been talking to Grant Lundberg. He's the CEO of Lundberg Family Farms here in Butte County, and he's active in the Yes on Prop 37, aiming to require labeling of products with GMOs. We appreciate you are taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Thanks,
Anytime.
Grant.
Anytime. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye.
We'll take a short break and be back to talk with Dave Murphy. He is the founder and executive director of Food Democracy Now.
I am a strawberry that glows in the dark. I am a beacon to be eaten when I light up the glass house. They put a special gene in me, and now I'm luminescent when I'm ripe, fluorescent when the time is right for you to pick me, eat me. Everybody loves me. I'm the biggest strawberry you've ever really seen. I go from green to glow to red to dead. I'm GMO, and I'm the best now. I am a fish with only one eye. I'm a cyclops swimmer, I'm genetically modified. My swollen genes swim around in my bloodstream, so they can see what happens to me. I'll never be free to swim around in the sea or to breed, cause scientifically I've been specifically designed so they can analyze the changes in my brain and maybe help someone someday. I'm diced up, spliced up and specially enhanced. I'm better than ever, I'm technologically advanced. I'm genetically, synthetically, however it please thee to see me. I can be however you need me. Diced up, spliced up, especially enhanced. I'm better than ever, I'm technologically advanced. I'm genetically, synthetically, however it please thee to see me. I can be however you need me. Here I come now, I'm a new virus. I used to be a strain that caused encephalitis. They cut me up and made me into a mutant, and now I am no longer a human pollutant. I have additions and I'm carrying the tools to fight cancers in the body, cause they're bending the rules. So I'm cool, man, no need to be afraid anymore. Except they're not 100% sure of all the damage and the side effects I could cause if I broke out to infect you and yours. And as a virus I can really open doors in the human body, I'm free to explore. I'm diced up, spliced up and specially enhanced. I'm better than ever, I'm technologically advanced. I'm genetically, synthetically, however it please thee to see me. I can be however you need me. Diced up, spliced up and specially enhanced. I'm better than ever, I'm technologically advanced. I'm genetically, synthetically, however it please thee to see me. I can be however you need me. I am the most powerful rice in the land, and I can stop the famine at hand. I am part of a global plan to give natural nutrition a hand. I have been enriched with beta carotene, otherwise known as vitamin A, and I'm here right now to save the day, to help the children play. Cause without this addition, little kids are going blind, cause they're vitamin deficient and their food is not sufficient, and they're not in a position to be changing their diet. So
you are listening to Ecotopia on KZFR Community Radio in Chico, California. On the phone with us now is Dave Murphy. This is the third time we've had Dave on the program. He's the founder and executive director of Food Democracy Now. It's a grassroots organization of more than 300,000 farmers and citizens. Dave is an absolutely tireless activist. He's working to reform policies related to food, agriculture, and environment. And he's been very much interested in California Proposition 37. Welcome, Dave Murphy.
How you doing? Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, okay. That's great.
Could you tell us, please, what work has Food Democracy Now done in the recent and not so recent past on the whole issue of GMOs?
Well, goodness gracious, I have to tell you what, we've been kept very busy by the Obama administration the last 4 years. A quick update, since Obama was elected in took office. We opposed Michael Taylor's appointment to the FDA. Michael Taylor, as you well know, is a former lobbyist, or you know, what we call a super lobbyist for Monsanto. He was an attorney right. that helped implement the genetically or the politically engineered loophole of substantial equivalence at the FDA that states that GMOs, or genetically modified organisms, are the same as traditionally bred crops. From that time, we've had very large number of public comments trying to stop Monsanto's drought-tolerant corn. We weren't successful on that. We got 125,000 comments to try to stop Monsanto's GMO alfalfa in January of 2011. Fortunately, the Obama administration likes to rubber stamp Monsanto's biotech products. And we're also in a lawsuit against Monsanto, standing up with the organic farmers to prevent them from frivolous patent infringement lawsuits when Monsanto's genetically engineered and patented pollen from their crops blows across their fences and then contaminates their fields. Monsanto will then send their seed police out into those fields, and if they are contaminated and they have a high enough contamination level, Monsanto can take them to court for patent infringement.
Right, yeah. We've had Jim Gerritsen on the show a couple of times, just two or three weeks ago, talking about where that lawsuit stands with OSGATA as sort of the principal organization in that lawsuit, and you all joining at Food Democracy Now, one of the plaintiffs in that suit.
Yeah, there's 75 plaintiffs, and Food Democracy Now, we joined Organic. Jim Gerritsen is an organic potato farmer in Maine, and he is the president of the Organic Seed Growers Trade Association,
right.
which is the lead plaintiff in that group.
Yes.
And we filed in support because we know a lot of farmers in the Midwest that have been harassed by Monsanto, and
yes.
we think it's absolutely wrong. We think farmers should be able to grow our food without fear and intimidation, the threats of fear and intimidation of frivolous lawsuits by Monsanto and other corporations.
What are some of the major risks? I mean, our proposition here in California, Prop 37, is to have all GMO products labeled. And that is a great thing for citizens' choice, for people's choice to be able to decide what they want to eat in some ways, like when we had certified organic. But I think people might not know and I've heard people even say, you know, GMOs are no big deal, believing those early studies that the people who wanted GMOs supposedly gave to us. But what are some of the risks of GMOs?
Sure. You just covered a lot of material there real quickly.
I sure did.
Absolutely. There's a lot of material, a lot of ground to cover here. But yes, on 37, to label genetically engineered foods, the very simple and basic proposition, the idea is to label foods that have contained ingredients that have been genetically engineered. In a laboratory, basically they have had an artificial or foreign gene from an outside plant, animal, virus or bacteria inserted into their genetic structure, their DNA, and it fundamentally alters a plant. Ironically, it alters a plant so uniquely that it can be patented, and therefore then these companies can claim a revenue stream on it, and they can file patent infringement lawsuits against farmers and companies. Ironically, 49 of the countries around the world recognize the basic right of their citizens to have those products labeled. Monsanto and DuPont and Dow
right.
Chemical, they will all tell you that these, just like the politically engineered lie that was created in 1992 by Michael Taylor at the FDA and David Kessler, they will tell you that these are substantially equivalent, that they're generally regarded as safe. There's no difference between them.
Right.
But the fact is, even even the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration's own scientists in the 1990s, had a very heated debate within the Food and Drug Administration under the first Bush administration. Basically, they said that the simple practice of inserting a foreign gene into a cell of a plant or an animal can increase the number of toxicants or toxins in that food, and also allergens. So it will create a higher level of allergic responses, possibly, by just the insertion of this gene. That's the way nature works. If you insert something into it, it doesn't belong there, it develops a self-defense mechanism. And so, you know, what, imagine if you put 1,000 BBs under your skin, your body would form scar tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of similar to what some plants may, the theory is behind what plants may do with the insertion of these hormones. And it's, you know, they like to say it's a very precise procedure, but in fact, it's not. It's very imprecise. And some of Monsanto's own former scientists are basically saying that it is, in some plants, it has been found to create certain proteins or foreign proteins in those plants, which the company is never intended and may, you know, we don't really know the outcome. I mean, humans and plants and animals have co-evolved on this earth for tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. And our species, as a, you know, humans, we've come to be able to readily accept certain foods. And as you know, the amount of allergies have risen.
Yes.
Autism has risen. Obesity has risen.
Yes.
In the last few decades. You know, the question is not to blame, not to say that this is the source of wild technology and not to say that at all, but the question is, why aren't these foods tested more rigorously and more independently by corporate science from Monsanto and DuPont? Why do we allow these companies to submit that science, which has never been subjected to an independent peer-reviewed study? Why do we allow that to be submitted to the USDA, the FDA, and the EPA and be rubber-stamped, you know, when there's no rigorous safety test? It's kind of shocking.
Yes.
We're talking with Dave Murphy of Food Democracy Now. Dave, we've been a little puzzled or have talked about how will GMO labeling slow down this process? Why not go for an outright ban on GMOs or a moratorium until a legitimate scientific community could say, yes, these things are okay, or no, they're not?
Here's the thing. You know, this is a science and a technology. It's a new science. It's a new technology. And we don't really know the long-term health consequences for human populations. There have been done studies, even very early on rats and animals and mice and other animals, and they have shown harm to the organs and also to immune systems. And reproductive, you know, creates problems with the reproduction system. You know, I think that at this point, the best thing to do is label them and allow consumers to make an informed decision. We're not here, you know, to bash. We're really here to find a solution in a democratic society, in a free market society that allows American citizens, in this case, Californians, make a decision at a point of purchase sale on food that they're feeding their families. Mothers and fathers have a right to know what's in the food that they're feeding themselves and their children. And no corporation has a right to hide that based simply on the idea that they have a revenue stream that they want to protect and that, you know, they claim that some people may be scared off by these labels. Well, we have calorie labels and fat labels on fats and allergies, and people aren't scared off of those foods.
And we had antibiotics in our milk labeled finally after a big fight. And hormones in our milk. Yeah.
You know, they're the big food and big agribusiness and big chemical companies. They're going to get away with what they can. They're going to bend the laws to benefit them and against the American people, the California people. And we have to stand up for our basic rights. I mean, we have a right to know what's in our food. The sad thing is, you know, for the biotech industry, is that they've allowed one company, which is Monsanto, whose tactics basically rival the mafia in a lot of cases. If the elected officials and their, you know, biotech promoters in the press would actually look into their basic practices. Under WikiLeaks, the American people in the world learned that Monsanto and biotech companies basically threatened foreign companies that were refusing to approve their products.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, they threw the U.S. State Department and their political power, they said they were going to start a trade war against France. And I mean, I just, that's really not my idea of good corporate practice. You have a product. You should be proud of your product, and you should be advertising it, and you should be able to convince people that it's a good product and sell it. And the thing is, you know, Monsanto would say, well, farmers buy these products, and they really love them. There's a lot of farmers. I'm from Iowa. There's a lot of farmers in the Midwest that would like to prevent, like to plant conventional non-GMO crops. You know why? Farmers are smart business people. They get a higher price in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's 49 countries around the world have the idea that, you know, listen, we want to eat organic and non-GMO food. Conventional grain crops for farmers always have a higher price in the marketplace. But these companies intentionally, they have control, a monopoly of seeds. Monsanto controls about 80 to 90% of the seed, you know, the biotech genetics. They're Roundup Ready and they're BT crops.
Right.
So, and they license them to other companies. But the fact is, they limit the amount of non-GMO or conventional seeds that are sold to farmers every year. They
right.
do that because they have a monopoly of a supply chain, and they close off that opportunity for farmers to buy conventional non-GMO seeds. And I tell you what, there are a lot of farmers in the Midwest. I hear stories all the time. I talk to farmers directly.
And that's your background. I mean, your roots are Iowa.
Yep. I'm a sixth-generation Iowan. My family has farmed in the U.S. And owned land since 1635. And my grandfather, my mom's father, was a farmer in Iowa. Raised corn, sweet corn, popcorn, soybeans, and cattle. And, you know, we have a very strong tie to the land. And the question is, really, do these corporations have a right to dictate to farmers and to the American public what we should be growing in our fields, how in the growing conditions, whether it's factory farms or it's GMOs or it's antibiotics in our food, in our meat, or do the American people have a legitimate say in the food products that they're buying at a grocery store, at a restaurant, and what they're feeding their families? We think it's pretty simple. Democracy is our middle name for Democracy Now! We believe the American people always have a voice in the products, the food that they're feeding their family.
Let's talk a little bit about which American people these are. We are not all label readers. What kind of public education would be required if the GMO labeling passes in California as it has in many other places? How do you get to the public? How do you encourage them to read those labels?
Well, listen, you know, my job is not to educate every American about the food. You know what I mean? My job here is to stand up for a basic right. I honestly think that the biggest mistake the biotech industry has ever made, and that Monsanto ever made, was that they fought tooth and nail against labeling. That automatically in American mind, it raises a huge red flag. You know, what are they hiding? Monsanto is the same company that is behind, you know, DDT, dioxin, PCBs, and Agent Orange. I mean, they Agent Orange. They lied to American veterans and the American public and the American government for decades about poisoning our veterans and poisoning communities all across the country with PCBs. The question is, if they would put a simple label on it, I honestly think most people in America wouldn't pay attention. But the fact is, there is a growing number of people that are concerned about the bad practices of these companies in the past. And they think that, you know, fundamentally, I have a right to know what's in my food. I absolutely believe that. And my goal, and the goal of the people that are part of the California Right to Know campaign, is to give consumers who care about these issues that opportunity. The funny thing is Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Kellogg's.
Yeah, I was going to ask about some of those companies. Go ahead.
Nestle, they're the ones that are donating tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. In the case of Monsanto, $4.2 million. They're donating against the California citizens' right to know it's their food. It is appalling that these major food corporations that sell these same products all around the world already label those products in those foreign countries.
So, Dave...
Everyone eats. Everyone has to eat.
Right.
You know?
What rationale? I saw that California Right to Choose invited, I think it was Monsanto, to join Yes on Prop 37, and they didn't. But what rationale do they offer for opposing 37? The ads are irrational. Do they just use their muscle and don't provide any rationale?
Well, yeah, listen, I mean, I have been in California for the last month. I've appeared at the California Democratic Convention, the California Republican Convention.
Uh-huh.
I spoke at both those conventions, and I also spoke at the California Labor Federation, a meeting with the top labor groups. And the talking points from Monsanto and the No on 37, they're very slick. They tell the same. They distort the basic intent of the initiative. They say it's going to cost jobs or it's going to raise the price of groceries. And everyone knows that's not true. There's not going to cost a single job for a farmer or a food retailer when these labels go on the packages in 2014. What's going to happen is Californians are going to look at the package. And you know, the fact is, corporations know this. Fundamentally, it is very hard, if not impossible, an entire industry, the diet industry, exists because American people basically eat by habit and they have a very hard time at changing their diet.
Right.
So people, listen, I eat GMO products because I eat foods that contain high fructose corn syrup and soybean and cottonseed oil.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The fact is, you know, I should have a right to know when I'm consuming that product. There is an example where they'll like to say, well, no one's ever gotten sick or no one's ever been harmed, but that's absolutely false. And they know it. It's Starlink corn is the major example. When a corn that had not been approved for human consumption, but had only been approved for livestock consumption, when it got into the human food supply in the late 1990s, early 2000, a woman got very deathly sick and was taken to the emergency room. She had an allergic response to this corn, as did dozens of Americans across the country. Taco Bell and other corn chip companies had to, pull the products from the shelves. You know, we don't know what this food does to every human being.
Right,
we don't know the sensitivities. People are developing really strange sensitivities to food that they didn't have several generations ago. We don't know why that is, but the fact is the only way that doctors or some of the medical profession can trace a possible allergic response is if food's properly labeled. And that's why, 49 countries around the world already do that.
You mentioned countries around the world who have already opposed GMO products. And I was reading in your blog in Food Democracy Now that you say that the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Agriculture issued a report calling for a reversal of India's policy to allow GM crops to be cultivated. This is a pretty recent development, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, this month, the Indian Parliament issued a report where they stated that they were going to deny the further use of GMO products in the country. They had a real problem in India with Monsanto's BT cotton and Roundup Ready cotton. So they really have had over 200,000 farmers have committed suicide, and many of them consuming Roundup, which is Monsanto's flagship herbicide.
Right.
And they've also discovered this is really amazing. This is what should make the hair on elected officials' back of their neck stand up. Basically, one of the main approval agents in India said when they were trying to approve GMO eggplant, or which is called in India brinjal, is one of their main popular dishes. They said that the U.S. Monsanto company had told them to lie about some of the safety studies. And this man had testified; he was an old man testified at a public hearing that the U.S. corporation had told them to lie. You know, the thing is really, why would a company that is putting a product on the shelf for consumers, for people to eat their families, why would they lie about a safety study?
Right.
I mean, that should really be a cause for alarm. And the problem is they have a long track record about not being honest about the health and safety of their product. But you know, listen, I'm not here to debate the science. What I'm here to say is, I have a right to know what's in my food. You have a right to know what's in your food. It is a fundamental and basic, inalienable democratic right that we all have. That, you know, and that mothers have that right to know what's in their food. No corporation, no matter how powerful and how much money it has, no matter how big its revenue stream has, they do not have the right to hide their ingredients in our food.
So what do you think will be the outcome of this proposition? Have you been, I know you've been in California. I read somewhere that you were in California, but I don't remember where. So you've been following this really closely. What do you think the proposition outcome will be, and how is Food Democracy Now participating in this campaign?
Sure. Well, there is a steering committee behind the Right to Know campaign, and Food Democracy Now, we are on that steering committee, working with Grant Lumberg of Lumberg
yes.
Family Farm
uh-huh.
and Nature's Path and Eden Foods and Mercola.com and Organic Consumers Association. We're working with 100 in the Environmental Working Group as well, and Pesticide Action Network.
Nice.
There's dozens and dozens of groups that are a part of this process.
Right.
Trying to make this campaign a success. We have more than 1,000 endorsements from organic and businesses and from family farmers in California. The California Nurses Association has endorsed this ballot initiative. The California Labor Federation endorsed it. The Democratic Party, Senator Barbara Boxer, has endorsed Yes on 37, you know, to label genetic engineered foods, as has Christine Pelosi. I was honored to be at the California Democratic convention and speak to the California Democratic Party's resolution committee. And I spoke there, and Christine Pelosi had a moment to come up and say, as a mother and as someone that supported the grassroots of the Democratic Party, that she believed that she supported Yes on 37 to label genetic engineered foods, because as a mother, she wanted that right to know what she's feeding her daughter. So we've had, this is a very dynamic and powerful grassroots initiative, unprecedented coalition of groups that are fighting for our right to know what's in our food. As you know, I know you follow this very closely, and you just talked to Grant, who's the co-chair of the California Right to Know campaign. We basically turned in, at the end of April, beginning of May, turned in nearly 1 million citizen signatures to put this on the California ballot on
right.
November 5th. That's an unprecedented, nearly 1 million California voters signed, put their name down and saying they supported this. We gathered over 300,000 signatures from volunteers. As you know, if you're from Chico, which is a pretty amazing place, Pam Larry, a grandmother there, helped mm-hmm. start this initiative.
She did indeed. We've interviewed her, too.
Yeah, and you guys are the epicenter. Obviously, there's nothing
yeah.
good in the water up there.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to come visit you very soon. And it's amazing what we see here in California. I've talked to Cap. I literally landed in California 6 weeks ago.
Nice.
And I talked to the guy checking me in the hotel room. He knew all about labeling of genetically engineered foods.
Cool.
He knew all about Monsanto and how they sue farmers and how they bully them. I got in the cab the next day. Cab driver lectured for 20 minutes about Monsanto, how they sue farmers, and about how he had a right, he and his wife have a right to know what's in their food.
Good.
This is a major and popular issue.
Super.
The only problem we have is the other side is frightened by the poll numbers.
Yeah.
Estimated 80 to 90% of Americans regularly for the last 20 years have always polled saying that I have a right to know what's in my food.
Right.
I have that right. But we know those Monsanto and all the other cockroaches in the Grocery Manufacturers Association are scared. So they're donating $25 million to try to deny you your right to know what's in your food. I mean, I think it's really a sad state of affairs of democracy when the same corporations that feed you and that you put your trust in every day to feed your family.
Dave Murphy, we want to thank you for being with us tonight on Ecotopia for the third time. We deeply appreciate the work you've done here in California, uprooting yourself from Iowa, coming out here. We'd invite listeners, check out fooddemocracynow.org. And we've already mentioned California Right to Know, carighttoknow.org. Dave Murphy is the founder and executive director of Food Democracy Now. It's a grassroots organization, 300,000 American farmers and citizens dedicated to reforming policies relating to food. Dave Murphy, thanks so much for being with us again tonight.
Well, thank you so much. It's really an honor to be on your show again. And just a reminder to all your listeners, yes on 37.
Yes, all right. On 37. Thank you.
Yeah, have a great night.
Say you want to help our community, help farmers grow more food, but all you sell to us is lies. You're only looking out for you. You say it's all about the children, yet you feed them pesticides. We know that it's all about your profits, because of you too many die. Monsanto, go away, go away, go away. You are not welcome on our Monsanto, go away, go away, go away. You are trespassing on our land.
And that's it for Ecotopia tonight on KZFR 90.1 Chico. Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by EcoCab, Chico's green alternative taxi service. EcoCab provides safe, reliable transportation 24 hours a day in a new fuel-efficient Toyota Prius. Protect the planet and get where you need to go. Be with EcoCab, the cab that cares. Call 591-3186.
Again, coming up at 7 this evening is The Storyteller with another of the new hosts in the rotation, Julie Nielsen, bringing you stories from multicultural sources, music, great story hour for young and old. And then at 7:30, it's Senior Felipe serving up the usual East L.A. Cholo Soul, R&B, oldies, blues, doo-wop, Latin folk, and gospel, taking you back to your home and the block where it all began. So join L.A. Sounds with Senior Felipe. Thank you for listening to Ecotopia. I'm Stephen Chudy.
And I'm Susan Chudy. Check us out on Facebook.
Concrete crumble, shine on me again. The proud and the mighty all have stumbled, shine on me again now. Weave me the sunshine out of the falling, out of the falling. Weave me the hope of a new tomorrow, and fill my cup again, fill it again now.
Give me the sunshine. gave me the hope of a new day.